The just shall live by faith. I don't care what you're doing, it's going to require faith. Faith to go up the mountain, faith to go down the mountain, faith to see what the Father doeth, faith to continue see. Can you lock into what He doeth? Continually seeing, saying, it starts building, manifesting, and then it'll break out. If you see the door and continue to see it and see it and see it, you'll go through it. If you see the garden of the lilies and Christ, the lily of the valley, you continue to see and say, you'll go into Him. Tree of life, Father's love, promised land, Jordan Gate, all of it's faith. All of it operates and functions by faith. The skillfulness of faith. Amen. It's by the eye of faith locking in. Whether you're going up, going down. Angels of heaven, faith. Praise God. Jacob's ladder, faith. You can have an inheritance of Jacob's ladder and all your life not access that incredible army that's been given to us. That army comes by the awareness of that operation in your life. A continuous awareness of that gate and that operation. The more you see it, the more you say it, the more you're aware of it, the more it'll manifest. Amen. You know how many people have gone to heaven and talked about angels that are sitting around bored? That is one of the common things they'll say when they get is the angels are very bored because they're not put into their proper place. They're ministering angels, flames of fire, sent to minister on the heirs of salvation. Praise God. We're going to back up a little bit today and give you something that happened to us yesterday. Cody come over and Anna, and we had a pretty remarkable, I don't know if that's an encounter or a breakthrough, be a better word, breakthrough. And God showed us a lot about a certain arena of the heart, and He opened our eyes to a really profound operation. Anna's going to share her testimony. It's going to help a lot of you get through. The whole part of this is to get through. You got to get through. And when those barriers are busted and broken through, you'll freely move in the kingdom. There are things that hold you and you don't know they're holding you. And so we're going to discover some of those things today to help you out. Amen. So we have to go back to the book of Genesis. We're going to talk about this little tree thing in the garden. And God told them don't eat. Of course, they're going to eat. You know, that tree is right in front of us all the time. You have to make the choice. Tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil, it's been put right up in your garden. It's right there on the internet. It's everywhere. Tree of knowledge of good and evil, the idolatry world system is right there. It's everywhere. You have to make the choice all the time. It's up in your cell phone. It's constant. It's 24/7. You gotta constantly make the decision between God. I'm not talking about this bad stuff. I'm talking about the stuff to distract. He didn't call it the tree of knowledge of good and evil for a reason. There's good, but that good is designed to get you away from God. Amen. They ate, they fell, and then we're going to pick it up from here. It was the woman, verse 6, said it was the woman. When the old man saw the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, the tree to be desired, making one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat. And. It's amazing how they never read this part of the verse. And gave also unto her husband that was standing right next to her. He was supposed to be her covering. And he says, go ahead, darling. You do it. I'll be there right there with you. And she handed the fruit to him. They both ate. And he did eat. Now, this is where we're going to pick it up. And the eyes of them were both opened. And they knew they were naked, and they sewed the fig leaves. That was the first thing man did to cover the nakedness. They sewed the fig leaves. They hid themselves under fig leaves. Now, we're going to talk about something that man has done since then. But the first thing they did is sewed the fig leaves, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Man's been hiding ever since. Even people who know God, there can be parts of us that have not come in to submission to God. I'm going to say this, whatever part of you that's not in submission to God will hide from God. Any part of you that is not coming to subjection and under the transformation of God, every part of your soul, mind, heart, will, body, it will hide from God by default. It's the nature of the law that it was born under. It will hide. So you have a dynamic of your spirit not wanting to hide, your soul and your body that does hide. Amen? And so the hiding issue is the problem. It creates a darkness that we're not aware of. And it's those things that keep us from the presence of the Lord. The problem is God has to bring all of us out from hiding. When I say all of us, I'm not saying all of you. All of us as a whole, spirit, soul, and body has to come out. Especially the soul has to come out from hiding. Amen? Because God, the only time he's going in there is to break loose. Amen? But he's not going to go in fellowship with you down there. He doesn't do that. The only reason he will come in there is to bring you out from the hiding process. He does not come and join a pity party with you in there. When you're a babe, he'll do that, but none of us in here are babes anymore. So he's not going to do that. Amen? So he's not coming into the position that we're held in. And that's what happens here. And he said, verse 10, he said, I heard the voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. So the first action that man took was to hide, and they were hiding because of the fear that entered in through the law of sin and death. Now, this fear is what I want to talk about, because we as Christians, when we get adopted into Christianity and we're moving in Christianity, a lot of us don't really see ourselves operating in fear. Especially men, I don't have a fear thing. It's your definition of fear. There's a reason why we deny it, because we don't understand how fear works. I'm not afraid when I see a spider walk across the room. That's not the kind of fear we're talking about. It's not always that outer fear. It's the inner stuff that you can't see, that you're not aware of. And that kind of fear is what God wants to unlock. Amen? It's the fear that entered in with the law of sin and death. And what we discovered is the first reaction of man is to cover, hide themselves in fig leaves. Well, since the fig leaf operation, and by the way, Cody brought this out too, one of the reasons why the Lord cursed that fig tree, were several reasons, because the doctrine coming out, it represented Israel, and the doctrine says, they're not going to eat from the law anymore. You've been delivered. You've been freed from it. No man's going to eat from you again. There's a new one. I am the representation. But there's another reason, too. He said, no man's going to operate and eat from your operation again. He was cursing that operation of man's hiding in the fig leaves. He was breaking that covering. But since the fig leaf operation of Genesis, man has become highly skilled at hiding. The soul has a multiple level complexity that it can compartmentalize. It's made to compartmentalize pain. God did some amazing things. Your soul can keep you from certain things. It can compartmentalize. But at the same time, traumatic experiences, rejection in childhood, all of these things, your soul ends up compartmentalizing a lot of things. It depends on the level of trauma, abuse, the things that we go through is the level of compartmentalized. But what happens is these things within our soul become rooms, and you develop pathways to those rooms. You have a natural reactionary pathway. When you feel threatened, you do a certain reaction to the threatening. When you feel threatened, there's a certain reaction that comes with the threatening. Some react in a, I did this for many years, defensive measure. Defensive wall comes out. Why? Because there's fear. You don't always see in the beginning why you're defensive. You don't understand what you're defending. The soul is defending a position of fear because it is afraid, because it already experienced that threatening, and you're just like this person, and I perceive you like this person. Therefore, I hide behind the wall of defensiveness. That becomes a room, a dwelling place. For you, the real you goes, hides in the wrong place. Control. Just a higher level of defensiveness. Most controlling people, if not all, are people that have great fear. They may not feel fear like what I mean, like fear, like when you're talking about exterior fear. They're guarding a little person's fear, a little boy's fear, a little girl's fear of childhood, a fear of certain traumatic events or certain abuses. And that, because you grow up under that, that fear gets so strong in it, you develop over time defensive mechanisms that move to controlling personalities. And those controlling personalities are incredibly hard to breach. The reason is because spirits come in and they control. Because, believe it or not, Fear seems like the most frail of all things. It is probably the single largest, greatest stronghold ever. And every other thing that comes in the kingdom of darkness will protect the fear. A controlling spirit seems like stronger than fear. Fear has more authority in darkness than control does. But in here, we seem to think control is stronger than fear. But control is protecting the fear. Do you understand how that works? See, the controlling influence. That's why certain people, you can be relational until you get too close. Then, the reason is there's something hidden in there. You're hiding in a room. There's a lot of different ways. People don't realize this, but if you're given to works, toil, labor, busyness, you don't realize, you just wake up, I'm busy, I can't sit still. That is coming from a seat of anxiety, which is a byproduct of fear. Fear, anxiety, works, toil, labor. That's why that's got to be put down. All those are rooms. You don't see it as a room, but you're going to dwell in a room of busyness. It keeps you from looking because I'm afraid of what I might see. I'm afraid of being still. Why are we afraid of being still? Because we have developed a personality so long, because underneath is probably fear. And the way we handle our fear is through anxiety, works, toil, busyness, labor. Can't sit still. Drivenness. No peace. All of that comes from rooms that the soul develops over time. Everyone's different in the way they develop their room. Some, here's a good one. Pride. Most people that are in pride have a tremendous amount of fear, but they have overcoated with a denial that I have no issue, that everyone else is the problem. Fear? What? Me? You know, some of the most gruffest, strongest men that walk around are full of fear, but they have a very gruff, proud exterior. But underneath is someone who never had their issues resolved. It's unbelievable how we can coat and clothe fear. Used to it be fig leaves, and now it clothes them with whole rooms, behavior patterns, actions and reactionary mechanisms that trigger. When we get triggered, we resort into certain areas and we don't know where we resort. Some is isolation. Some resort in isolation. Some people develop a whole personality out of fear to relate to people. It's not even them. They have a personality. They go out in public. We call it a church face sometimes. It's really not the right person. They come in because I am afraid. I got to put my face on. Some just isolate. And through the isolation, rejection and unworthiness, defeatism, that one goes low, low, low. All that is protection of this thing called fear that came in with the garden. The problem is this becomes rooms with pathways that develop over time. Reactionary pathway to every time something happens, I have a reactionary pathway that happens. Most people have one or two paths. They go to the same place each time. Each time it happens, they'll go to the same place. Some people get so overload trauma, they just split. The personality splits. They got two different people living in, two different personalities living in them. And spirits usually are accompanying both personalities. They call it dissociative identity, dissociative disorder. It's just another word for split personality with spirits. Now what happens is we go through life, we get born again, our spirit gets born again. All of a sudden, God promises a hiding place. I'll be your hiding place. See, because what the soul has done is found its own hiding place. And now you've got two different hiding places that are competing with each other. One is saying, I've got a hiding place. If you'll come up to where I am, I'll hide you in my Father. We're hidden away with Christ. He understands your need to be hidden. Every child needs to be covered. Every child needs to be hidden. Every child needs to be protected. Every child needs the assurance and the accompaniment of the Father's love. Amen? He understands the need to be hidden. Holden, he understands the need to be filled. That's why he said in the Matthew 18, he says, he that is converted, come unto me as a little child. I want to read this to you. Go to Matthew 18. The problem with these things is it's usually the other guy. I don't have this stuff. If you are blocked on a continuous basis, you have it. You just don't know you have it. If you are trying to get to levels that you can't get to and your faith has been operational, What's happened, something is blocking you. You don't know because it's hidden. The soul hides. At the same time, the disciples, Jesus said, verily I say, except you be converted, become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. So you become converted. And then he says, and in your conversion, become as a little child. Why? We found out something about entering the love of the Father, entering the rest. We found out something that's extremely effective in going up to Father is going up to the Father as a little child. Trying to find a place in your childhood. If you don't, the Holy Spirit will give you an identity there. If you had a rough childhood from the very beginning and you can't remember any time of innocence, then he'll give you a state of innocence you can go up in. But Anna and I do it all the time. Sometimes we'll go up like we're 5 years old. I see her in a little dress and I'm in this little suit, you know, and we're little kids and I'm like run up there. We're so happy. And think about children. They don't have any care. They have no responsibility. They're not wearing anything. They haven't been through life yet to build strongholds. They haven't built layers between God. Little children don't have those issues yet. So what we're trying to do is move in to the Father in that state, that child in that state of innocence. We're trying to move in through the innocence. So we're bypassing a lot of our issues. And then bypassing the issues, we get up into him and then he fixes the issues. But we get through the door that way. It's a very awesome way to get through the door. Problem is operating the Father is different than any other way. If you just pray here all the time, you'll have a lot of these issues all the time because whole works are born, but you'll very rarely see God come up into these areas. When you have an operation of the right hand of God, it's not so. He is going to shine the light because he is light. You cannot come up into him without him opening these rooms. It's just utter impossible. It'll be baffle you how God will use you in the anointing and use you in the glory. And then all of a sudden you come up in a room and he'll open a room in you. And it's just like, oh my, who is that? Some of them can be seen by people, and some are so skilled at hiding, it hasn't been seen in a long time, and the soul has compressed it down, it's hidden and blocked it. The soul can block things very easy. It blocks, hides and blocks, but there's a part of you that knows how to revert into that room that gets blocked. You can revert. Certain event happens, you just go into that room. You go into isolation mode, or you go defensive mode, or you go into works mode. It doesn't matter what mode you're going, into control mode, defensive mode. It doesn't matter what mode you're going in. You're going to hide in the wrong place. You have a room. It's not fig leaves anymore. It's a room that's been built and you run to it when you're supposed to be going running to the Father. It's a counterfeit room to the Father. And that's why the Lord says, I have a room for you, a specific room for you to come and bring all of the stuff to this room. And I'll not leave you as an orphan with all the issues that come, the dysfunctional issues that come as an orphan. I'll not leave you in that way. I'll bring you to the Father, and my Father's going to love you the way you need to be loved. Sometime from ground all the way up, from child to son to heir. Amen? And so as he opens the rooms, as we come into him, he opens the room. He's not going to show all this to you up front. Get over the fact that you're not perfect. Look at your neighbor and say, you are not perfect. But we have believed the original lie. If you eat from this tree, you'll be as God and perfect. And so the need perfection is we can hide in perfection. I got to make everything perfect. It's all based out of the wrong foundation. There is an excellence in God that's achieved by God. And then there's a perfection that's demanded from the soul. I've had both. I'm in the excellence now, praise God. Do you know what it takes for me to just look at something that's out of order and say, okay, whatever, praise God. Man, in the early days, it was out of order. I said, we're going to get this fixed, and we're going to get it fixed right now, meeting in the room. We're going to be perfect. Bah. Praise God. Father, I surrender this to you, and you'll perfect it in your time, praise God. It's a big difference between you doing it and God doing it. That's why he likes to leave a lot of things imperfect around you. I cannot cleave to the imperfections around me, for they would drive me crazy. I cleave to the perfect one. So you have all these rooms. So he says, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I have a room for you. I have a room. I know you have many rooms you hide in, and you don't know you're hiding. You really don't. But when you get up in the Father, you'll realize just how much you hide. Your soul has a way to hide. The problem is God's not coming down, and that hiding is the wrong room. And when you hide in that room, it blocks your capacity to hide in God. And as long as that room, and see, and this is what we found, and I'm going to let Anna give her testimony. I think Chuck and Cody will share just a little bit too. So what happens, just like we develop pathways to the Father, you develop pathways to those rooms. And we were in the midst of this thing yesterday. The Lord said, now speak to the collapsing of the pathways so the room can get collapsed. You got to collapse the pathway of your soul to run to the wrong place. You have to collapse that roadmap. If it doesn't, it'll keep that tree growing and glow. And then once that roadmap collapses, the reactionary mechanism collapses. Truth causes the collapse. You speak to it. You say, be withered, dry up, cast out, and be planted into the Dead Sea now. And you move it, he plucked the whole room out. Sometime it's a fig leaf. Sometime it's a room. And sometime that room has some serious guardians in there. And they're not angels. Man, Christian can't have a devil. I don't believe a Christian can have a devil in their spirit. You are right. But Christians can definitely have devils in their soul. Just hang around church for a while and you'll see them. You will talk to some of them. They will come out and greet you. You might find that you have a few. As you get close enough to God, you might find you might have more than one. And man, when those rooms, and the problem is getting through the guardians, because the guardians are fierce. They guard the fear. Fear, I don't know why fear is a stronger one, because it's weak to me. It seems weaker, but they guard the fear at all costs. And they're power agents guarding a weaker, what I consider a weaker spirit, but they're not. And the kingdom of darkness fears the greater one, and they'll guard it at all costs. They are sent to guard those areas. That's why nothing gets through. Do you ever meet somebody and you can't get through? Yes, we have, Pastor. God bless you. I know a lot about this stuff. I've been exercised in a bunch of it. God chose somebody very unique to stand in this pulpit. Praise God. And so when he opens those rooms, good gracious. Once the light comes on and you're done defending, you have to get done, see. As long as you're defending, as long as you're controlling, it cannot make you bow that stuff. You have to give it up. But if you get into his light and his love, you'll come to the kind of light that will give it up. And when you do, he'll come in like a roaring lion with an axe. That's what he meant. The axe is laid at the root of the tree. He brings the axe and lays the root. See, there are trees. Then there's fruits. Their spirits, their strongholds, their systems of thoughts, actions, reactions, and mechanisms. All this stuff's in the soul. All of it has to be converted. All of it has to be transformed. But he can't lay the axe. So what happens a lot of times, you'll get somebody free. You'll get spirits out of them, but the tree's still there. You don't get the tree out, they'll just come right back and re-sow it. That tree, and you just give it a season, that tree will re-sow the whole thing again. It's not always cast the devil out. They do got to come out. It's the truth and the light that has to replace. And you got to get the axe. That's why the winnowing fork, the Jordan baptism, and the truth that operates in that is so powerful, because it can lay the axe to the root of those strongholds. And when those trees, when he lays the axe, and you get to the point where you can recognize that it's darkness, and you break allegiance and break agreement with it, then boom, the freedom starts. And man, will he come in. He'll come in with a bulldozer. You will feel like he had plowed your field. Amen. Praise God. So with that said, I'm going to let Anna come and share her amazing testimony, because she had a tremendous breakthrough yesterday.
Okay. So I am so glad that he framed everything that he did the way he did, because one of the things as a wife and as even a pastor and a minister and mother, one of the things that was always in my heart was being protective of my marriage, being protective even of what we looked like as far as pastors. And, you know, there's this sense or this need of being perfect. And as we know, the Lord is the one who's perfecting us. But if anyone that would come to me for sozo, which is salvation, it's inner healing, it's deliverance, it's wholeness, there was a safe place that they could go. So what I found when LaRue and I have been going into the prayer room, it's become my safe place. And bringing such intimacy with LaRue and me, because there was a lot of intimidation between having someone who was so strong in your life, that is your partner, but also your covering, that could bring intimidation. And there would be some expectations of being perfect. And the whole world is looking at you from the outside. And you're even looking from within to present a certain personality or an extension of who you think you are on the inside. But what the Lord is doing is bringing such an interior alignment with who he says that I am. It's not based on what my parents said or didn't say. Because some people may have had incredible affirmations for their children, and there's a great deal of security. But those that maybe didn't get that could feel that they weren't as valued as maybe another one in the family, or not feeling and knowing the value. And it's not based on what you do. It's just because you are that child. You are the one that is a gift from God to that family. And that's what we're growing up and learning and almost going back into our childhood to know some of those things that influenced and affected us, to bring those fears. And in those times, we weren't able to vocalize and even, you know, verbalize what we were feeling in those points of feeling rejected or like we weren't good enough. And I was finding that when those feelings would come upon me, no matter what my age, growing up in through, you know, middle school, rejections, disappointments, things that would cause me to want to go and run and hide. And I remember even literally when I was younger, if I was upset about something or hurt by one of my family members or a friend, but mostly within the family, I'd go and hide in the closet. But then when I'm hiding in this closet, I'm hoping that my dad or, you know, someone will come looking for me, noticing that I wasn't anywhere around because they were missing me. And then sometimes I'm in there like having maybe conversations in my head in that darkness. Well, are they going to even, you know, care that you're not here? And are they even going to notice that you're not even around? Do they even, you know, miss you? Does somebody miss you enough that they're going to go looking for you? And so when you know what you know now about the Father and how he sought us and pursued us in order for us to know what our true identity is, because most of the time that personality along the way, whether through hurts or rejection or trauma or abuse, neglect emotionally, even physically, begins to create these personalities on the inside of you. Well, today I'm the student. Today I am the child. I have to please my parents. I have to please the coach or the teacher. And progressively, now I need to teach impress or be concerned about performing so good for my boss, for my manager, in order to be accepted and to be valued and affirmed. But when you have that on the inside of you, and you are so secure in really who God created you to be, because this is what the Lord is doing in those times of prayer. When you find yourself being so still, there's that part that would go into that room, down that hall, into that room to go hide. And what would happen is like this defeatism would come over me. It's like, well, what's the point of trying? Well, I don't want to do it now. It affects your will, because if you stepped out or you're afraid of making a mistake or being judged or embarrassed and or you miss it somehow or you get feedback, whether from LaRue, which is more recent, or through the years stepping up here and maybe not delivering it just right or carrying the anointing. I mean, there would be those times where I would just shrink and be so wounded in my spirit, in my heart. And because the personality was so strong and really almost demanding that perfection because of some of the insecurities that he had suffered from as a child. and the things that he had experienced. So you have two people that are married with their individual backgrounds, let alone generational sins, let alone generational iniquities. And you're taking this before the Lord, and you're discovering some of those places that you would try to go and hide, just like Adam and Eve did, because they were afraid. But nobody wants to ever admit, I'm afraid. No, everything's great. No, everything's great. Oh, glory, praise the Lord. You know, it's like, everything's great. I'm successful. You know, you get to meet somebody, and, you know, well, what do you do? Usually it's like a common ground where you're engaging in a new encounter or relationship. And it's like almost always, you know, what do you do? And even when you go into college, my children, they're like trying to figure out, what am I going to do? Like when I grow up, and everybody faces that. And there could be a lot of fear and intimidation of making a mistake. And, you know, what do I love doing? And I keep telling my children that, what do you love doing? Because what you love, you know, all of that, you can do anything, you can be anything, but what do you love? Ask the Father what you were created to do, what he's created you to give in terms of serving others, because everything has to do is with really serving one another. And what I found even with this recent time, actually yesterday, each time we come into this prayer room, this holy place with the Father, I mean, we are lifted up, but immediately going out there and sitting down, and this is what was showing me that place that was still hurting on the inside of my heart from some of the times here through ministry, because you're pouring your life out. And when you're whole on the inside, what flows will be more and more and more of the word and the truth and the love and who he is, because we become like him. But there's this gnawing on the inside of me. And I was like, oh, about going out to prayer. And we had some excellent times of prayer when Cody's come over, and it's like the three of us, you know, it's like Father, you know, spiritual mother, spiritual son, and he's a seer. And my seeing has just really been so elevated, and just such an increase in that, being able to see things inside and what he's doing. And what I was finding with just this little gnawing had to do with when we had released the message on Easter Sunday, and I had stepped up here and I was sharing my testimony about when the angels were coming in, and there was so much power that was coming because it was happening again yesterday once we broke through addressing the fears that were coming up, and even some of the hurts and some of the feeling of I didn't do a good enough job in my testimony and my delivery, when LaRue had asked Cody to edit some of it in order to keep the message focused on that of the angels and what the angels were doing and how they were coming through, because we have been experiencing the angels ascending and descending. I mean, literally in the power again that the body can barely even contain, because your whole body is full of electrical currents. It's truly just the power of God. So that's what I was to share and explain and describe. But what I had also done was step out a little bit more. And it was because I knew there were going to be people that may not understand where we were as a church to the audience at large, because not everybody's tracking and understanding where we are right now. So you have the right hand of God to go to see and know how to move into what we're describing, and being with the Father in that throne room of grace and being before him and seeing what he's seeing and hearing what he's saying. So this is all a part of that growing in grace and learning how to do things his way. So what I was feeling was this pain that some of the parts that I had shared were removed. I was like, oh, I don't know if I like that. Wait a minute. And I started thinking on it. And I was like, well, why don't you send it? Because maybe I can learn about how to deliver a part of the message that I need to really deliver and stay on task. Because sometimes women can get a little more, you know, colorful and share stories and bring in a few more things maybe. And men are like, I've got to get to my destination. So we bring color to those relationships because that's how God's created us. And I am one who is a little more gentle. I am one who is very soft-hearted and very tender-hearted. And LaRue needs that part of me. And I need the parts that are really strong and even focused, because he's helped me with my focus. So there's been a lot of complementary healing and even deliverance. But by admitting what was going on the inside of me, we just really took it back to, okay, let's address this. And so he had repented because he didn't understand really what was in my heart to try to catch some people up to understand a little bit more of the backdrop to what took place to getting us to where we were with that Easter Sunday message and just what brought the angels in and just the surrendering of the spirit, surrendering of the soul and all parts of the soul and all areas within the heart, because so much is suppressed and goes into the subconscious, but it's still there. And so the Lord is going so deep and bringing the light into those areas within our hearts. And this was an area he was really touching in me. So there was a release of forgiveness between me and LaRue. And it wasn't even, you know, towards Cody, but Cody kind of just triggered it and made me remember about, well, I don't know if I want to pray right now with Cody here. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, I had to get over my own little issue, even though it wasn't him that did. He was just submitting to LaRue's request on, hey, let's tighten it up. Let's stay really focused with this. There's a lot to cover with this message. So from my perspective, it was so healing because it really brought up, as a little girl, how I used to go and hide. And it would be, well, what's the point? Well, I don't know if I want to share now. You know, I mean, it would be like all or nothing. But now it's like coming into such a place of, Lord, it's because what we were seeing with going to that room, I could see and ask the Lord, even with the lighting it up, that my choice now was to run to him. I choose him rather than choosing that place to go and hide. Because what I'm looking for, you would call it like a comfort zone. What's your comfort zone? What's almost like your false comfort even? Because it could be some things for other people. It could be busyness. It could be entertainment. It could be binging on, you know, television programs. It could be drinking or eating or any kind of substance, because it's still trying to appease that big hole or those hurts on the inside. But when you run to the Father, and he's the one who's the consolation of my heart, the comfort of my heart. He's the one through Holy Spirit that helps me to see what I need to see and be able to have the courage to look at it and to even admit it. So what we were seeing, what I was seeing is the Lord with his host of angels. It's like these angels went in and started destroying, I said like bombs, those glory bombs into those darkened rooms and in places that I would go in the past, those hallways and tunnels were just collapsing all over the place. So it's like he's closing those doors. And it was even in my spirit, I saw that those spirits that had attached themselves to my emotions, like the anger and the fear and, you know, defeatism, what's the point? Because it's like, you know, you can go there and you fellowship with those voices, the darkness that are trying to belittle you and make you less than really who you are. And, you know, there are those that even do the opposite, the complete extreme opposite of that, and even overindulge their children and overinflate their egos, where now the children are all completely being wrapped around to that excess as well. So there's a balance, and that perfect love really only comes from the Father. You know, we as parents can try to love our children, but it's like, Lord, help me to love them and raise them up in the way that you want me to raise them, because you know everything about them. And when our parents missed it and we didn't receive what we needed, whether that affirmation or being valued and loved and seen, you know, I mean, there was generations past that the children, you know, not be heard and not be seen. It's like out of sight. And that gets passed down, and that gets passed down, and that gets passed down. And sometimes we can go to the opposite, the other extreme. But he's bringing such an alignment again, such an inner healing to every part within us. But even with those spirits, it's like the Lord showed me those assignments against me, even when I was little, those things that were even attached, you know, those darkened guardians that said, no, you can't go there, you can't go there, can't go there. But those angels go, no, you get out of the way. And I saw like this wormhole being opened up and the spirits being sent back from where they were sent, and it got closed up, and then the doors within my house were all being shut, and I called the blood of Jesus over them so that they cannot be open. Because when you think about the enemy, he's truly a destroyer. He wants to come and kill and steal and destroy. Take your peace for today. And that, and the person that I am today, when you think about it, it's really the culmination of who you've been to bring you to who you are today. And what I've learned is like holding on to all that was good and everything that the enemy assigned as evil agendas and assignments against me in those particular evil timelines. It's like, Lord, collapse those, that there be no remembrance of him. That you hold on to all the good of your parents and everything they sowed into you and your grandparents and your generational legacy of those blessings and rejecting all that was intended to be curses or iniquities. So he brings that wholeness, and that's what he's doing. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The love just continues to get so much deeper between us.
So I wanted to say this, stay here a second. So what happened was when she started moving up into the Father, what would happen, God takes different stages. I had been through some of these things myself, so I kind of knew what happened. But actually what he had started doing last month is tapping that area. And I recognize, and what happens is little things. It might be a little thing on the editing, but it's tapping something else. The trigger mechanism is causing her to revert into going hiding in that closet, and then that would cause her to shut down. But this time, that happened like 3 or 4 times, and the enemy was really getting like super active, but God was also very active in bringing it to the forefront, because once God knows you're ready, he's going after it. He's going to keep tapping and keep allowing it to be tapped. And all of a sudden, truth came in yesterday. What happened yesterday was profound, because before she would just gird up her loins and move on. But this time she saw the room she was going in. It was the wrong abiding room. And once she saw the light come on, she broke that. She broke allegiance to it. And then the whole room collapsed yesterday. That whole room the enemy built over a lifetime, the pathways in the room collapsed. The tree was come up, and she was getting all this massive breakthrough within, because God finally collapsed the room. And once he collapsed the room, you have no more pathway to go back there. Now the Father owns that room. Do you see that? And that's the power of what we're talking about. And sometimes it might be little things that are triggering, but it's triggering a bigger room. And that room is what God's after. It's the one you're hiding in. But she saw it, light came in, and it was so bright because God broke that thing. She became a lioness. She saw it, and man, I saw it in the spirit collapsing, and the Lord said, decree the collapsing of the pathways. And see, as you do that in the Jordan baptism, we took and buried all that yesterday, and now we're in a new place together, because God is perfecting both of us in this union as we go up further and further. Amen? It's awesome. Let's give God glory for that. Hallelujah. So Cody wants to share a little bit from his perspective. He was a scapegoat yesterday. He was a good scapegoat. Praise God. And then Chuck's going to share. Amen. Isn't this good? It's going to be awesome when it happens to you.
Amen. So yesterday, that little miscommunication, what the enemy had did is he took that and he's trying to break the union, because I'll come over every weekend and we'll pray. And I could tell he's trying to drive a wedge, because usually a lot of powerful things will happen whenever we're in there praying. And I could feel it during the week. I could just feel there was something there. I couldn't really put my finger on it, but I knew I was in the middle of it, and Anna was in the middle of it, and LaRue was in the middle of it, because it was involving us three. And like she said, whenever we went down to pray and we were ready, I mean, we're getting all positioned, getting comfy. And then LaRue's like, "You ready, Anna?" And she's like, "No, can I talk to you for a second?" So they kick me out of the room. I'm going to chill with Roscoe, and they do their little powwow, they talk about it, and then LaRue comes and gets me, and I go into the prayer room, and he's like, "All right, so I'm going to explain what happened." So that's whenever she explained her part, and then we get into the door, we go to the throne of grace, we surrender the situation. Anna surrenders LaRue, LaRue surrenders me, and then everybody surrenders everybody, because I was the one who technically had made the edits. Yeah, I was just following LaRue's instructions, but it came back on me, because Anna had asked me about, you know, "Why do you edit it this way or that way?" And I was like, "Well, LaRue told me this." So it created this situation. So we go to, now he explained to me what happened. I was like, "Okay." And then I had realized that I had held on to the hurt that she was experiencing. So I retreated too. So I had retreated, she had retreated, and LaRue, he was fine. He was free, you know. He was ready to pray. Yeah. And then, so once we talked it all out, LaRue repented. And then Anna released. And then I released. And then we buried it all in the Jordan. But then usually how we pray is LaRue will pass it to Anna. If she's got anything else, she'll release it. And then I'll follow her. We just kind of have this flow that we go into. Well, I started just releasing the residual of my soul and how it wants to latch on to certain feelings to create the protection mechanisms, and it wants to go and hide. Well, then the Spirit of God just hits us, and he starts decreeing these pathways to be broken and decreeing these rooms to be completely dismantled and collapsed. And as he did that, I went into this encounter, and I saw the Lord. He took his fist, and he punched the earth. And when he punched the earth, it split. And then he was saying, because in Jeremiah it says, isn't my word fire? Isn't it the word that smashes the rock in pieces? Well, as this crack went down, it turned into a root. And it was showing me that it was a root that went all the way down into the earth. And he was showing me that the earth represents our flesh, because we came from the dirt. That's just part of our fleshly nature. As he was showing me that symbology. Well, whenever the root went all the way to the very bottom of the earth, which he was showing me that root is our soul, and it's so deeply interwoven into our flesh and has a capacity to go one way or the other. Well, and then LaRue said that the axe is laid at the root of the tree. And when I saw the Lord take an axe and he chopped off the very tip of the root that was getting nutrients from, and then the whole root dried up, and then the whole pathway collapsed. And I saw my soul. It was this light being, like, it was all light, but it was still in such a confused state. It was trying to find these leaves on the ground. It was going for the fig leaves to try to cover up, but it couldn't find any because the pathway had been destroyed. And it was in a confused state because that's its normal reactionary mechanism where it wants to just retreat. It's like by default, because of that tree of knowledge of good and evil and the fear that's rooted in that, the soul's always going to go back there because of that pathway that had been built. Well, when you collapse that pathway and you collapse the room, I saw two pathways. One was dark. It was a big gate, huge. It's like you could freely walk into it. Well, it was completely destroyed, and you couldn't go down that path anymore. And it's like the soul just walked the other way down the path of glory, and it was because of that pathway was destroyed, the soul was able to now respond out of the new nature rather than the old nature, and it was amazing. Praise the Lord.
Amen, Cody. Good job, man. The devil has one strategy, and that's to isolate you. To isolate you. Whatever it takes to isolate you. His whole purpose, his whole defense towards you, or offense towards you, I guess, actually, is to isolate you, whatever that takes. What I described on last Wednesday was really a situation where he was moving me into a supernatural depression, simply because that is something that historically in my family line, generationally, has been present. It is no longer part of me. It hasn't been part of me for 20-some years, but it was what he was trying to move me into. If fear is somehow that same thing in you, that's where he's trying to move you into. But perfect love casts out all fear. It's the thing that you want to remember, because see, what the enemy's trying to do is isolate you from the Father. Because if he can isolate you from the Father, then what he's actually done is separated you from the one who can bring the healing. If he isolates you from the Father, now that means if I can't be transparent with the Father, I'm already cut off from my actual healing. Anything else I do, I can do certain things to control my situation and make it a little better, but those are also just coping mechanisms. And how many know coping mechanisms are not freedom? Coping mechanisms are never going to be freedom. Coping mechanisms are simply just another way to hide, another way to put another fig leaf on you and cover up. But at the same time, the Father has offered us such a place of openness. If we'll just give him the space, he'll give him the space. Romans 8:2 tells us that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. In other words, everything that Genesis 3 put into the situation has been broken off by the one who was risen, the one who has already called himself supreme, the one who calls himself the overcomer, the one who's in you and has given you access to the Father. And so as we understand that, now we understand that we can, that same place of freedom, that life that he already lived, that life that he's put in you is the life that he's given you to overcome all these situations. Hallelujah. If we embrace the Father, then we're embracing, in other words, if we come into that place of openness with the Father, that transparency before him. Transparency before him will result in him being able to bring you into love. Love then will also bring you into the place of freedom. Because say, once you understood the place of love that he had for you, there was no more need for all the other defense mechanism. Once you understand, once you discovered that place of love, see, that's when we come into the washing with him, when we come into the place of rest with him, when we come into any of those places that he's established for us. Chris, if you can put that up, just the new one. Do we have the new one up? I don't know. Cody? The new image? I don't know. The new diagram, the new map. Yes, but if we have that, that's good. If not, I'll just describe it. But all the place of the rest, the place of Jacob's ladder, the place of the everything that we have been talking about is causing us to have an interaction with the Father, so that we ultimately respond to him in love. When I discovered, and all it took was just that reminder out of John 15, that when Jesus came to the Father, he also came into the love. See, Jesus never did anything he did that he didn't actually go to the Father and see him do and understand and hear from the Father. Why? Because not only did he get the instruction, but he also got the love to carry out the instruction. He got the love to have the security, the sanctuary, to do what was absolutely impossible for any man to do otherwise. The reality was, when he got to love, it allowed him to break hold of self. To break the holds of self off of his life. Because say now, Jesus, because he could see the Father, receive from the Father, he could actually step into what was an eternal destiny. He stepped into eternity because of the Father's love. And that's the same thing that's happening to us when we allow him to expose our heart. When we give him that space and we give him that room, he exposes our heart, but he gives us the ability to see it from an eternal perspective. How do you think Stephen was able to be stoned and all of all was on his heart was to bless those people that were around him? That's not an act that we do when we're consumed with self. It's an act we do because we see eternity. We see something that's bigger than ourselves. We see something that's outside of ourselves. We see something that's reaching out into a new space. Do we have the new ones? Yeah. So now, see, we also have the Jordan baptism up here. We have crucified and buried with Christ. Okay, and we have the single eye focus all surrounding that throne of grace, which leads us into a garden of rest and the tree of life, the lily's grace, and the healing leaves, which ultimately lead us to the Father in a perambulation with him, walking with him, allowing him to do in us and through us, allowing him to stir our hearts, and that creates an open heaven, releasing us into a promised land. It's all there in your map. It's all there in your map. Then you have your apostolic government. And then you have all the sevenfold inheritance, all power, divine healing, the Jacob's ladder inheritance, the omnipresent time habitation. It's all released. Why? Because we're choosing to let his love expose everything that needs to be exposed and let go of what needs to be let go of. And as we let go of what needs to be let go of, he's instilling and inputting into us the fruit. When Cody was describing, what he was describing was a root being pulled out of, but in that same place, he's going to instill new fruit. New fruit. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. corporately, we're all somewhere in this map, but we're on that edge now. We've been the Father's love, perambulation, promised land, open heaven. See all the inheritances around? All of those are about to manifest in the earth. The whole shebang. Isn't that awesome? See that little thin veil between the inheritances? That's where we're at. And that thing is being crushed right now. And that whole thing is going to release and open wide. We're going to send this to you. Just see Cody. He's got this. We're actually going to make a book like The Framing Your World, a confessional manual, Kai, with all the scriptures of each operation with that image in front and each operation to move into and all those inheritances in a little manual you can have. Imagine having that kind. That is a roadmap of the fathers. That is the roadmap of the right hand of God. That is the highway of Zion all the way to go up and back through into the earth. Isn't that glorious? It's awesome. He's going to collapse everything between you and that place. There's going to be collapsing of lifetime strongholds will collapse overnight. Collapsing. It's awesome. Collapsing of trigger mechanism. Collapsing of the darkness. Stuff you don't even know you're hiding. Collapsing. And you're going to be the manifested window of heaven in the earth. Or heaven will flow through you. In an anointing without measure. Amen. He has to collapse all that to take possession so the anointing without measure can flow through you. Lift up your head, O you gates. Be you lifted up, you everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong, mighty in battle. The same one that came out with Joshua for the promised land. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. The captain of the angelic armies of heaven. He wants to come and take possession. He told Rick Joyner when he was in heaven, he said this to him. He said, those that I will use the most in the last days are the ones that I can conquer. Those who allow me to conquer them, I will use them the greatest in the last days. That's how he's going to conquer us. You cannot conquer yourself. You do not have the tools or the capability of doing that. You must go up into the Father and allow him to do that. There is a roadmap right there. And it's an awesome one. Hallelujah.